You'll see. I hate these. They really clamp your head. You know? Are we on?
Yeah, we're on.
Well, why didn't someone say that? I was... And the news, Ted Cruz signs up for Obamacare because he's a mass of pre-existing conditions. Oh, I'm with you now. Well, what do you know?
Live from the Monona Terrace in Madison, Wisconsin, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, we welcome acclaimed author T.C. Boyle, plus all the news that isn't and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who's formed an exploratory committee to look for his keys, it's Michael Feldman.
Whoa! Thank you for overreacting! Thank you so much. Thank you for the overreaction. It's much appreciated. I'll do the same for you sometime if you're having, you know, like a roast or something like that. If you're being roasted, I'll come and go, yeah. In other news that isn't, Ted Cruz plans to use the presidency as a stepping stone to something bigger. Not sure what it's going to be. The man behind the curtain, I think he wants to be, in Oz. You know, Cruz is the one guy in the Fallout shelter game who never gets saved. You know, Fallout shelter game, you're going to take so many, and they got all the ones left on the world. You know, what, is he going to reproduce with Katy Perry to repopulate the Earth? I don't think so, because she always gets saved. Not going to happen. In other news, Harry Reid will not run again in 2016, which frees up not only the office, but the name for an aspiring porn star. Thought so for you. They probably couldn't use it while he was in office. Harry Reid. And starring Harry Reid as the neighbor. Okay. A momentary lull in Obama bashing after George Zimmerman blames him for everything. Okay. Indiana passes a Religious Freedom Act, which means a Baptist does not have to serve an Anabaptist. If it's against their religion, it makes perfect sense. Utah Humane Firing Squad gives the guy a 50-yard head start. So that's an advance. All right, the 9-foot upright walking crocodile. Did you see that one? Yeah, this is a 9-foot upright walking crocodile. Vies for the most justifiable evolutionary dead end. With... the salamander, the bust-sized salamander with a toilet seat head, a close second. So, latest discoveries and whatever that would be. So, you know, a lot of evolutionary dead ends is what I'm saying, until you what you see before you right here. Okay. King Richard III has been reburied beneath the Leicester car park. Competing Republican budgets in Congress, first budget to cut everything wins. Paul McCartney and Metallica will deadline Lollapalooza. I mean, headline. Land's End recalls flammable PJs as a hazard for kids who smoke in bed. And ultrasounds show that mothers smoking gives fetuses something to do with their hands. They're talking now about the Yemen 51st state solution. So the Yemen problem, making the 51st state. They'd come right after Wyoming, so it's almost perfect. And kids, Sana'a is the state capital of Yemen, if that comes up. Mother's milk now so valuable, it's not unusual to run across a nursing banker. Maybe it is unusual. Maybe it's not a banker. Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu proposes a two-faced solution in the Middle East. We're very close to April madness now. You know, that's when low productivity at work cannot be explained. The FAA approves Amazon flying monkey delivery, so I'll look for that near you. Dolce and Gabbana decide to put off having a family. Chicago Bears, the GM of the Chicago Bears says it's a good idea to add a quarterback every year, which means that by the year 2525, if Bears are still alive, the Bears will have 514 quarterbacks. A league record, I might add. And as Wisconsin drops to 40th in job growth, Scott Walker will run for president of the bottom 10. That's all the news. That is not. President of the bottom 10. That's a good start. That's a springboard. That's a springboard. That's a good place to start. Foggy Bottom. T.C. Boyle's in Foggy Bottom. Isn't that where the CIA is? Let's find out what he's doing there. He's got a new book out. A novel, T.C. Boyle, The Harder They Come. It's great. And it's very apropos of the age in which we live, which is a little unusual for him, I think, isn't it? I'm not sure. Let's find out what he's doing there, first of all. Hi, Tom.
Hello, Michael. It's good to hear your voice again. Speaking of the CIA, this is a secure line, isn't it? No one's listening in.
No, no one.
Okay,
believe
good.
Me, at this point in my career, no one is listening.
Well, I've had a delightful morning here in our nation's capital.
What are you doing?
I took a 3-hour shower and flushed the toilet 22 times.
3-hour shower.
Don't forget, my dear fellow, yes. I am coming from Santa Barbara, where we have just endured our fourth consecutive rainless rainy season.
Aye. Your rainy season?
Yeah. We have no water. We are on a 30% mandatory reduction. And what we're reduced to at my house is my wife and I bathe just once a month together in the tub, after which we wash the clothing in the water, boil the spaghetti, and then put the rest on the trees in the yard.
Yeah. So how many years have you been married now, once a month in the tub?
Well, you know, it's become a virtue to stink, actually.
Yes. What an interesting way to begin a conversation.
Mm-hmm. And curiously, yes. Michael, what? When the restrictions began last February, a year ago, our local newspaper outed our biggest water users. Now, I live in a village of 9,000 people. Mm-hmm. We have two golf courses, three hotels, and many wealthy landowners and so on. The woman who used the most water by far, I won't name her, but you can take a guess. She is a billionairess who has her own talk show. And she was outed for using more water than anyone else. The following month, she reduced her water usage by 80%, so God bless her.
Okay, millionaires has her own...
Excuse me, Michael, billionaire.
Billionaires, and I think you said that right. Billionaires has her own talk show.
But we won't want to out her as a water waster because she has come in compliance.
What is she doing with all the water?
Well, truthfully, I believe she just wasn't aware and had a big estate and was foolish enough to have a lawn. Can you imagine anyone having a lawn?
Yeah, in Santa Barbara?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah. What are they going to in Santa Barbara in lieu of lawns? Just gravel?
Dirt.
Swept yards?
We have dirt. Dirt is a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Well, that's what they have in the in Alabama. And they have swept yards. You know, there's clay. There's just clay, and they just sweep it. It looks very nice.
Yeah, we don't bother sweeping our dirt. We just add to it daily.
Say, you know what? Not to change the subject or anything yet, but I did want to congratulate you on receiving the L.A. Times Book Prize.
Well, thank you so much.
Except, of course, you know, it is lifetime achievement. That's a little scary.
It is a little scary, Michael. This is my 25th book, and I figure I probably will write only maybe 25 more. So no. I'm going to tell them to wait on this award for another 25 years.
Yeah. What is it? Has your metabolism ever been studied by science?
Yeah. Well, not only was I born naturally caffeinated, but I also have the metabolism of a weasel. I eat my body weight every day, which isn't that much, actually. I only weigh 160 pounds.
Yeah. So that's it, huh? It's all metabolism, right?
I don't know.
Some talent, but a lot of metabolism.
Yeah, I don't really know. I just have enormous desire and energy, and my life is my work. I just can't stop doing it, and I'm very happy, perfectly happy.
And this one is a good example. This is a brilliant book, I think.
Well, thanks so much. I mean, it's difficult to make jokes about it because this is a drama about this phenomenon of the individual shooter in America. I keep wondering, why are the mentally unbalanced provided in our country with automatic weapons?
Yeah, it's a good question. Mm-hmm. You know, in all this, your book, but everything in this area that's so common now. You know that poem To Elsie, William Carlos Williams?
Yes, tell me.
The pure products of America go crazy. Mm. That begins that way, you know that one?
Mountain, I like it.
Mountain folk from Kentucky are the rib north shore of Jersey with its isolate lakes and valleys, its deaf mutes, thieves, old names, and promiscuity between devil-may-care men who have taken to railroading out of sheer lust of adventure.
Wow, I love it. I would have used that as my epigraph if I'd known.
Yeah, William Carlos Williams. The pure products of America go crazy. And it's sort of like that, isn't it? I mean, it seems that way now, and this book encapsulates that.
Yes, and well, I used a different quote for my epigraph. It's from D.H. Lawrence's Studies in Classic American Literature. The essential American soul is hard, isolate, stoic, and a killer. It has never yet melted. Now, of course, this is an Englishman writing about this in the 1920s, but it stands as a proposition. And I wonder, is that true?
Yeah. What do you conclude after having written the book?
Well, of course, don't forget, Michael, I am an artist, and I'm making fiction, and I want the audience to draw conclusions. That said, I expect that perhaps we're still a pioneering country, and the crazies of the past may have gone into Indian territory and survived or not. Now, of course, they have to live amongst us, and all this violent impulse is turned inward.
Yeah. I think it's a little hard on us.
It is hard on us, and it would help, though, if we put the mentally unstable into mental institutions and treated them rather than giving them some meds they don't take and letting them go on the streets.
Yes, or electing them to office.
Mm-hmm.
The berserkers. That comes up in this book, these... It could have been called that, actually, don't you think, the berserkers?
Yes. One of the difficult things for me was to enter into the mind of this schizophrenic, and not only him, but his girlfriend, who is a member of the Sovereign Citizens Movement, a far right-wing movement in America, which denies all governmental authority. They don't want to pay taxes or have license plates on their cars, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Who does? I mean, I don't really enjoy paying taxes either, but... we do have a society, and we must sustain it. And so I had to enter into the minds of these characters and try to make them sympathetic, even though they may be people you disagree with. Now, of course, I can't see your audience, and I'm sure at least 80% of them are sovereign citizens, so I don't want to offend them.
I don't think so, really.
No?
Just falling away Democrats, mostly.
Okay. Fair enough.
All right, let's set up the whole premise. Now, this is actually based on two stories or two things that happened in the news. They weren't stories. They were real news.
Yeah.
This gentleman who went on this trip down, was it to Costa Rica?
Yeah, actually, in fact, this was an incident that took place in Mexico some years ago, which I read about in the newspaper. I'm the last person in America, incidentally, who actually reads a newspaper every day. And... an elderly man on a cruise was on the tour bus in my tailing in Costa Rica when his group was assaulted by three young men, two with knives, one with a gun. This man acted instinctively. He was a former Marine, even though he was extremely elderly, Michael, at 70 years old. And he actually killed one of the assailants with his bare hands, scaring the others off. And for this was celebrated as a hero.
Mm-hmm. And the other story is about this young man who was definitely a berserker, and went on a killing spree and was hunted down. And you tied those two stories together. What was that second story? This young man.
The second story is of the shooter himself. This is a young man living in Fort Bragg in Northern California, who was schizophrenic, and was doing all right, living with his grandmother until she died. He became delusional, wound up shooting two people, and then lived in the woods for 5 weeks while he was the subject of a great manhunt he was able to elude. So I've put these two stories together in a fictional context and have created the first character as the father of the individual who is the shooter. And, of course, there is an ironic contrast here. The first is celebrated for an act of violence. The second is reviled and hunted down.
Right. And it's a father and son thing as well, because they're maybe similar personality types in a different period of time.
I've wondered about this for many years. In my book, World's End, in 1987, I gave a fictional history of some characters in the Hudson Valley where I grew up. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if characteristics are passed down from a parent to children. That is, you have your mother's nose and your father's eyes and so on. Mm-hmm. Well, do you also have their personality and also... Mm-hmm.
I love that book, by the way. I think it's
might
be my favorite. That's an amazing.
Well, thanks so much. And a propensity to act in a behavioral way. Mm-hmm. And beyond that, now that we've decoded the human genome, biologists are telling us that free will is a smaller balance against our nature than we had suspected, that everything is driven by hormones. And incidentally, along these lines, remember the movie The March of the Penguins a few years ago? You know, children were allowed to see this movie, The March of the Penguins. I thought it should have been rated triple X, because this is exactly what we do. We are completely driven to these bizarre behaviors by our hormones, even though we try to deny it.
Yeah. Okay, now I can't think about the penguins right now, but I'll get back to you on that one. I'll go back to this a little bit now. And in some, like the shooter, though, I mean, given the times in which we live in, actually does somewhat become celebrated. I mean, he's hunted down by, but he's celebrated for the very fact that he is being hunted down.
Yes, some news sources have tried to deny telling us the name or qualifications of the shooters, so that copycat shooters won't revere them as heroes. I don't think it's quite possible in our culture, obsessed as it is with the news, to do this. But yes, these people become celebrated for standing as anti-authoritarian figures, even though what they do is reprehensible.
Yeah, and the fact that they're psychotic or sociopaths is not even a factor anymore. I mean, that's to me, that's what's sort of amazing about the period in which we live now, and also the book. That there are behaviors now that are sociopathic and psychopathic that are regarded as commonplace, everyday occurrences now.
Yes, and you know, there's an irony here in my own life that I delivered this book in the fall of 2013. This is 9 months before last May's attacks in Santa Barbara. It was eerily similar to the story I've told. A young man, mentally unbalanced, who has access to weapons, stabbed his three roommates to death at UCSB and then shot several people before killing himself. This was in May of last year. And so it happened that I was in New York at the time at a friend's birthday party in a nice lake in a sylvan atmosphere, and my phone began to ring, and people said, oh, God, are you all right? Well, yes, I was all right. I wasn't even in Santa Barbara. And yet, in a larger sense, I'm not all right, nor should any of us be. This seems to happen monthly now.
Mm-hmm. Yes, or even weekly.
Yeah.
All right. So now, getting back to the novel and not an indictment of American culture.
Yes.
Which
yes.
is too easy, really. You know,
yes.
We're talking about the American soul here, I guess, because you've got the father, who's of the previous generation. But he's very American, and the son, who is like a rebel American, like he identifies entirely with this mountain man,
John Coulter.
John Coulter.
In your wonderful opening routine, Michael, you mentioned you made a joke about the death penalty and running from the shooters. Well, this is exactly what Coulter's famous run is. He was captured by the Blackfeet. He was he was a mountain man of the early 1900s. And was in Indian Territory in order to trap beaver, because the fashion in, the fashion in Wisconsin, but certainly in New York and Boston and Paris and so on, was to have top hats, which were made from felt, made from beaver pelts. At any rate, the Blackfeet caught him, stripped him naked, and debated, how shall we torture him to death? And they finally decided, well, let's have a kind of fox hunt and let him run We'll give them a 100-yard start, and our swiftest Braves will chase them down with their spears. Well, Coulter, of course, he had a great incentive, did manage to outrun them and survive. And so he becomes Adams, the shooter's great hero. Adam wants to emulate him and be as hard as he is. So the harder they come, the notion is there is no middle ground. There is no negotiation. There is just brute force.
Right. And that, again, seems characteristic of our times. The idea of compromise and negotiation, even on a political level or certainly on a personal level. I mean, there are things being committed in the news, you know, if you look at the Middle East and ISIS and all this stuff, that would seem to be unbelievable, and yet now they're just reported, and here's the latest outrage. But it's true, you know, on this side as well.
Yes, of course, and, you know, I am focusing here on this phenomenon of the individual American shooter, but, of course, we have, in the African-American community, we have the gang violence, gun violence. We have the attack in Europe on political expression and freedom by extremist groups. It seems as if all civilization is under attack at this juncture, and that the world is primarily ruled in the way of Coulter and the Indians and Adam by gangs, by violence, by brute force.
Well, and it seems to me like Adam talks about hostiles. It's him and the hostiles.
Yes.
Everywhere he sees a hostile now, especially the Chinese for some reason. He focuses on them and thinks the Chinese.
In this case, I had the police report of the actual shooter from this one incident I was talking about. An extensive police report which talked of some of his delusions. And one of his delusions was he was obsessed with the Chinese as the new hostiles, sort of the new Indians. And you could have 1,000 Coulters and they couldn't fight them off, etc. In the police report, it was found that he was arrested for going to the Chinese consulate in San Francisco.
He did.
And throwing these tinfoil red Chinese stars over the wall into the consulate with some obscure messages. And so this gave me an idea of how he might think and why he might think this way, and enabled me to enter into his consciousness. Mm-hmm. I should say, too, that I had written about a schizophrenic before in Riven Rock.
Right.
And further, when I was a boy, up until around 18 or so, one of my very closest friends from kindergarten on became increasingly disturbed and was finally hospitalized as a schizophrenic. And I loved him, and I loved his notions and the way he thought. And yet, it was still extreme and bizarre and beyond what we could imagine. And so I'm sort of channeling him, too, in creating Adam, the schizophrenic.
Yeah. And I was just thinking that he's an advanced case. This, you know, Adam, obviously, is a psychiatrist.
Yes, and there's
but
a further...
let me just finish here now.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm just finishing my thought. Otherwise, I won't do it. Was that it's characteristic of our times. It's all, I mean, all of us, I mean, if you look at it's all us and hostiles. People are totally paranoid. Like, the love of guns is because we think people are there that are going to hurt us, right? I mean, everything now is us and, you know, the people, the immigrants are hostiles. You know, it's sort of characteristic of the age right now.
Yes, I think you're right. I mean, I don't want to sound like a sociologist. I'm not running for office here. But I think part of it, too, is this kind of virtual society where there is no public place anymore. I am lucky now. I made my escape from L.A., I think, as you know, Michael, 22 years ago to Santa Barbara. Mm-hmm. I live in a village where I can walk. I know everybody. I can make jokes to them at the post office, at the restaurant, at the bank, etc. Most people don't have that anymore. We do everything online. Soon, Amazon will be delivering everything to us by drone. And I think that makes you more paranoid and more suspicious because you don't really know anybody in your community.
Right. And you don't know whose drone it is.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Well, okay. We got a little far afield here, I feel, in actually discussing the book. It's a great book. And you know, I was quite sympathetic to the father. What's his name? Stan?
Stan Stenson.
Stan Stenson.
Yes.
And in that situation he was in, he reacted according to his training and so forth. But then he also indicted this guy who was not the second guy, and he just gave the name out because he wanted to be done with the whole thing. So he wasn't exactly moral, I guess.
Yes, I think In my telling, as you know, I don't really have an agenda. I'm not trying to press a point. I'm just trying to explore something. And so I didn't really know where the book will go or what will happen. Mm-hmm. And in the case of Sten, he does do some things that we might not approve of. And yet, I like your saying that you have sympathy for him. I have sympathy for all three of the characters, mm-hmm. even the shooter, because I understand their point of view. I don't agree with what they do necessarily. Mm-hmm. And again, if you should look at the average Hollywood film, for instance, you know, we have the bad guy who is exclusively bad and the good guy who is exclusively good.
Right.
The bad guy torments the good guy for the first 15 minutes of the movie, and then the good guy for the rest of the movie, you know, gets his revenge and we all cheer. But I think life is a little more complicated than that, and I hope that by making you have some sympathy for these characters, we can see that it's a little more complex than simply black and white.
Yeah, and when this all goes down and comes to the ending, which I won't reveal here, but he blames himself for it. He said, "Who's responsible for everything that Adam has done?"
Yes, and there's a moment at the very end of the book, and I don't think it's a spoiler really to talk about it, in which all this has gone down. It's the denouement. We now have a moment to think about it, and Sten is in the parking lot of a fast food joint. And he's always been a tough guy, always operated from violence and power. And now a young guy cuts him off in his truck and curses him. And Sten is about to act instinctively and violently, but he just stops.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's different. That's a change. I sort of wish you would have gone after him. It's a great book. Thanks, Tom, so much for talking with us. T.C. Boyle.
The As always, Michael.
The harder they come.
You're quite welcome. Thank you.
Thanks. Nice talking about it. That was a little dark, so I apologize for that. But it's worth reading. It's the first book I've read recently that actually sort of deals with the craziness that we're almost coming to accept going on now, you know, daily and weekly. It's amazing, actually. So, but it's a work of fiction, and it's a good one. The harder they come, T.C. Boyle. Okay. Yeah.
Boy, yeah.
How are you? Pretty good?
Depressed now, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty depressing.
Pretty
I'm trying to get out
before
of
that.
I don't know.
Felt pretty good this morning.
I felt fine for until a minute ago, but it's a good book, though.
Yeah. No, I read the New York Times review of it last Sunday.
Yeah. I'll give you this after you finish the other one I gave you last week.
Okay, yeah, I'm only halfway through that.
All right, so then, Jeff, are you good?
Good.
Yep. Good.
Yeah, we're all good.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you got for us here?
This is a little Duke Ellington tune called Daydream.
Oh, okay. Excellent.
Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
That's my point. Cindy Meisner from Appleton. Where are you, Cindy? Oh, there you are. How are you? You are from Appleton?
I am from Appleton.
What part of Appleton?
What part? The
closer to Menasha or Nina?
No, closer to the north side. What? So closer to the north side of Appleton, so I'd be closer to Kaukauna. Closer to Green Bay.
Oh, cool. And you're a teacher. What do you teach?
Family and Consumer Science.
What is that?
Home ec.
You know, they call it something at the university here, and my daughter was in it. It was human ecology. The same letters as home ec. That's pretty clever.
I never thought of that. That's good to know. Nobody knows what I'm talking about when I say family and consumer science. I usually have to follow it with home ec.
Or human ecology. I mean, what, you graduated in human ecology? I mean, I understand human somewhat and ecology somewhat, but I don't see it. It looks like a landscape of humans or something.
Uh-huh. I would agree.
And what is this year? Your dad's 80th birthday?
It is. So we brought him here as part of his birthday present.
What's his name? So I can say
Dan.
Dan.
Okay, I can remember that. Excuse me. I just got to lean here. You don't mind, do you? Well, do you mind the contact? If you mind the contact.
Nope, no, touch me. Go ahead.
Touch you? Okay. Hey, Dan, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Can I get you to stand up here just a little bit? I don't mean to make it. It's your 80th birthday, and it's, we'll hoist you up if you have to. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Is this what you wanted for your birthday?
It was a surprise. One, that I'm here, and two, that they did it.
What didn't you want for your birthday? Let's start there.
What didn't I want? Oh, I don't think there's anything I didn't want. My family is here. It's okay,
perhaps you wanted to be here.
I enjoy being here. I've always enjoyed listening to your program. Yeah.
And where do you live, Dan, exactly?
In Walworth, Wisconsin.
In Walworth. Beautiful Walworth.
Down near Lake Geneva in the state line.
Yeah. Lived there a while?
Really? Wow. Yeah. Were you a Flatlander, or were you a...
No, did you live there a while?
My wife and I moved there in 1959 and said we'll stay 5 years. That's a nice place to raise our family, and 57 years later, we're still there.
Yeah. How many families have you raised in the interim?
That I know of.
Okay, let's leave it right...
One great family, and two of my daughters are here, and three of my favorite granddaughters are here, and so we're enjoying the weekend. Yeah.
What occupation occupied you down there?
I was a teacher.
Oh, you're a teacher as well, yeah.
School administrator.
Yeah. And what did you teach?
I was a science teacher.
Science. A good science teacher?
I think so.
Yeah. Was it like organic chemistry, or was there any?
A little bit of that, yes. Mm-hmm.
What was your specialty, would you say?
Biology and biology.
Form of it, I mean.
What form of it? Yeah. It could be botany, zoology, biochemistry. Yeah. Genetics could be a lot of those.
Yeah. So that prepared you for administration?
And no one has figured that out yet.
Well, that's great. And in retirement, like, what do you do now? Are you an outdoorsman, a little golf?
Yes, I have an obsession for that.
Yeah. Golf. You ever play it, or you just have an obsession for it?
I attempt it.
What's your handicap?
My clubs.
I'll let you have that one, you know.
Thanks.
Appreciate that. I'll let you.
Thank you.
That was a softball. We got a little something for you for your birthday here, don't we?
How about the CD, The Impossible Dream by the Senators?
How about some wine? What are you fooling around for? Who wants a CD? No one has CDs anymore.
Fine Wisconsin wines from the Wollersheim Winery.
Bottle of wine on us?
Yes. Okay. Yes, for sure.
One enough?
Yeah.
Thank you, Dan. Have a nice day.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for being here. Were you shaking your finger at her? Blame it. It was all her fault, so don't blame me. I just, huh? She's out of the will. Oh, boy. How are we doing time-wise here?
We're doing okay.
We're doing okay? Okay. Let's see now. I'm supposed to, Amy Doyle wants me to convince her parents to move to Madison. Are they here? Are they here? Is that them? Oh, that's going to be a tough sell. Because, you know, no, because they're from... They're from Youngstown, and no one ever comes to or leaves Youngstown. People are just there, and they've been there a lot of years. And excuse me, how can I sweeten the pot? Tell me what the problem is.
I've been trying for a long time to get. They're retired. Yeah. They love it here. Yeah. I can't get them to stay, and I want to take care of them when they're older.
That's good to hear.
Doesn't, so maybe she wants them to move here, too.
You know, we have this argument at home all the time. Now, increasingly, you know, I'm a little tired about this particular argument, but you don't...
Pressure from you could help.
Well, would you want to move here?
If I had a lot more money.
Okay. Some way we can get her a lot more money?
I'm working on that. We're retired.
What would you need?
A lot. To maintain our present standard of living.
Oh, yeah. A standard of living?
Oh, yes, right.
Then why would you want to move if you got they got a standard of living there right now?
But it's 500 miles away from me.
Yeah. Do you have a lifestyle?
Oh, I like to play golf and sail.
He's got a lifestyle and they have a standard of living. How are you going to...
They could do those things here. They could do those things here. We have a couple lakes around
but
here.
She needs a lot of money to sweeten the pot.
She's got to talk to my sister then.
What are you doing for a living?
I work at an architecture firm in the office.
They pay?
They pay.
Hot?
It's not the glamorous.
Okay, well, you're not going to be much help in this. I don't. We could kidnap them or something and, you know.
That's illegal. But okay.
Yeah. But how can you kidnap your parents? It's all backwards.
Or sometime here and part of the time in Florida would be nice, too.
Yeah. Well, talk with her then. Get a little ambitious there in that job of hers and move up, and then you can we can talk.
Okay, well, I'll work on that.
Okay. And your name is?
Kathy.
Kathy and
Bob.
Bob, nice to see you. Maybe I'll see you in Youngstown. We had a great time there. Happy to come back. Youngstown, Ohio. Thank you. You know, like you're going to Youngstown and you see a sign on the side of the road that says New York City, 586 miles. That's my main memory about Youngstown. It's just a sign there saying New York is 586 miles away. But you're in Youngstown, Ohio. What can you do? We're going to play a round of the What Do You Know quiz because that's what we do here. Okay, we talk about sociopaths and mass murderers, and we play a What Do You Know quiz. So that's okay. Oh, pardon me. I almost went over back. Culmination of my career. So I'd like to see, before we can do that, we have to know who can and cannot participate in the quiz. That calls for the four disclaimers. This gentleman, if you would come over here, still sitting all alone. I thought you were waiting for someone, but you're not. Are you waiting for someone?
They all had something better to do.
Oh, they all did?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll give this to you then. Get out of your way.
All right. The four disclaimers are, all questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Two, Bitsy, say it ain't so. Three, persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones, trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. Number four, all opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
All right, thank you very much. Good job. All right, let's see the hands of those of you who want to try them at the What Do You Know quiz. I think your hand was up first. Come on down here. I'll meet you at the aisle. We'll see who gets there first. We have to crawl over a bunch of people. Well, you're pretty quick, though. You're quick down an aisle. You've been down the aisle a few times?
Just twice.
Just twice?
Yes.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great, thanks.
Your name is?
Jennifer Stevenson.
Jennifer, how are you? Nice to meet you.
Nice
pleasure.
To meet you.
Where are you from?
Neenah, Wisconsin.
Beautiful Neenah, Wisconsin. Jennifer. And what brings you our way here now?
I'm here with my wife spending the weekend.
Yeah, fantastic. You have just a great weekend.
We're having an awesome time without the kids. Yeah.
Is this a high point so far?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right, Jennifer. I mean, one good reason you should play this quiz.
Because I market a paperweight museum for a living, and if I can do that, I can be really fun on your show.
All right. Let's challenge that theory. Walk this way. Do as I do. And watch out for these... Oh, I'm sorry. That hurt much? Oh, no. Yeah. I lost a few pounds, you'll be happy to know. And I try not to put all my weight on your foot, but I can. Yeah. That's it. Pull it out. Just pull it out. They pop right out again, those toes. That's the beauty of them. They're retractable. All toes are retractable. Jennifer.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Paperweight what?
A museum. A Bergstrom Mahler Museum of Glass in Neenah.
That sounds like a good thing, but what is it? They're all paperweights?
We have mostly paperweights. We have about 2,500 paperweights, and then other glass.
How many paperweights do you need, though, really? There's not that much paper.
Well, we're pretty windy staff, so.
Okay. Yeah. Whose idea was this?
Evangeline Bergstrom is actually a very famous paperweight collector in that world.
Mm-hmm. So there is a world of paperweight collecting. I
absolutely.
No,
they're a very interesting group of people.
Yeah. And is it widespread around the world? And
Yeah, we're internationally known, believe it or not. Neenah, Wisconsin is internationally known for paperweights.
And your love of paperweights began with?
They gave me a job.
And since then, you've become absolutely obsessed with paperweights, and there was levels to it you never thought possible.
They're amazing little worlds. Once you peer into them, they are quite fascinating.
Uh-huh. And what do we see in some of your favorite paperweights at the museum there, into them?
My favorite weight, I think, is one of a little boy peering down into the water, and his dog is pulling off his shorts. So.
Copper tone.
Yeah, beautiful.
Whoa. That's a museum piece.
It is, it is.
And are some of these from around the world and have sort of different things than you might expect?
Sure, antique paperweights started around the 1850s. Then there was a revival in collecting, which Mrs. Bergstrom was instrumental in doing. And they were very popular up until contemporary. There's still people making contemporary paperweights.
Mm-hmm. Contemporary ones. When we speak of the paperweight greats.
Speaking of the paperweight
names that come to mind.
A contemporary paperweight artist working now in New Jersey is Paul Stankard. He makes beautiful botanicals. We just had an exhibition of his. I'd say, there's still people like Michael Hunter in Scotland making paperweights. Gentleman just retired, Peter McDougall. Beautiful, beautiful things.
Yeah. When you say botanicals?
Flowers.
Mm-hmm. I know flowers would be flowers, but I mean, are they actual flowers or are they glass flowers?
They're often mistaken for actual flowers. Yeah. The question we get most often in the museum is, how do they get inside there? And glass is a molten material, 2,300 degrees, so if real flowers were in there, they'd burn up. So they're actually made over a torch, and you could swear that they were real.
Oh, that's good. And historically, the father of all paperweights, or the mother, is who?
They're paperweight manufacturers in France, like Clichy and Saint-Louis.
I bet,
Yeah.
What'd they put inside there?
There are different styles of paperweights. Are flame-worked, which are made over a torch. Mm-hmm. There are millefiori, which is an Italian word that means 1,000 flowers.
Right.
And then there are sulfides that are kind of like cameos.
Yeah.
Sure. I can tell you're thrilled.
Okay, well, no, it's really, this is, there'll be a quiz, actually, before we end the show. No, that was very interesting. All right, someone out there, anyhow, plays along with you in this quiz.
Awesome.
And if we can find someone else in your field, I'll try it. It's not going to be easy. And how does that work then?
People at home who want to play the quiz, pick up the phone and dial 1-800-942-5669, and you ask them a qualifying question.
Okay, we got the people category today for the qualifying questions. So they're all percentages, and you got to sort of get within a certain percentage of the percentage, and we'll give it to you, okay? What percentage of the percentage would you have to get in?
10% of the percentage.
10% of the percentage.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll show you what I mean here. The percentage of people who would rather sing in public than go without their phone. Okay? That's what we're looking at. And it's a percentage now, so a certain percentage. They would rather sing in public, which is a big fear of a lot of people, singing in public, not your fear, of course, than go without their phone, anywhere without their phone. Okay, so we're looking for percentage there. Let's go to the phones right now. Donna's in Groveland, Illinois. Hey, Donna.
Hi.
How are you?
Pretty good.
We catch you at a good time, or?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What are you up?
I'm on my way.
What? You talk.
I'm on my way home.
You're on your way home? Well, I was expecting you. I was wondering where you're going to get, when is it? Are you driving right now?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello.
Donna?
Yeah, I turned off my Bluetooth.
Your Bluetooth?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you driving?
No, I'm parked.
Oh, you're parked. Okay. Okay. Who was on your Bluetooth there?
Well, you were, but because it's like a speakerphone talking to a speakerphone, it gets all funky.
Oh, it got all funky. It did. So where are you heading to? You're going home?
I'm on my way home from work, yeah.
Oh, from work. Okay, so you get off of work pretty early then, huh? Overnight shift or something?
Well, I work at Starbucks, and I went in at 4:30 this morning, so.
Oh, my God. How does that work for you?
Oh, it's great. You go in, you drink all the coffee you can stand, and then you're awake for the rest of the day.
Yeah. And then what time do you go to bed?
8, 9, depends on what time I have to get up and drink coffee the next morning.
Yeah. Is it always 4:30?
No. Sometimes it's 5.
Oh, that's good. I knew there were benefits at Starbucks. They never talk about them, but that's a great one. Are you doing okay right now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Here's the question. If you could tell me the percentage of people who would rather sing in public than go without their phone.
22%.
That's exactly close. It's 15%. That's close enough for me. I think 22 is like within 10% of 50, almost exactly. Almost exactly. Oh, Don, I'm really happy. I don't know why, but you deserve something after that shift, I think.
Well, and see, there's another reason why I should be on the quiz.
Why?
Well, this afternoon, I'm headed across the river to the Peoria Riverfront Museum.
Uh-huh.
And they have their own collection of paperweights.
Holy awesome. Cow! Thank you! Thank you! What are the odds on that?
It's exciting.
And you know the Peoria Museum?
I'm not aware of that, actually, no.
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 It's part of their collection, and we've got a special exhibit going on right now that's called Stuff, the Art of Collecting. And
Stop the Art of Collecting?
No, Stuff, S-T-U-F-F.
Oh,
the Art of Collecting. And there's a paperweight collection as part of the Stuff.
Interesting. You know whose weights they are? I call them weights because I'm in the business.
I don't know.
You know whose weights they are?
I don't know who they belong to.
Yeah, what was inside them? Were they botanical?
I don't know. I'm going this afternoon.
Millie Floral?
I'm going to go see it this afternoon.
Yeah, good. And did you like them?
I haven't seen them yet.
Oh, you haven't seen them yet.
No, I'm going.
You
I'm
think
going
you'll like
this
them?
Afternoon.
I
think anybody who collects various things is fascinating. So, yeah, it'll be fun.
Unless it's like toenail clippings or
bodily
fluid. I mean, there are some weird collectibles out there.
Yeah, but they don't usually display those in museums.
Well, it's coming, I think.
Okay, maybe the Mutter Museum, but that's it.
Yeah, the Mutter Museum. Have you been there? That place is weird.
I have not been there, but yeah. I don't think I would make the trip either.
The Mutter Museum in Philadelphia, they got one of the wings of it is actually things that people have passed. You'd be amazed what you can pass. If you put your mind to it, unbelievable. Like, drawers filled with these objects that people have passed. Anyhow. Jennifer and Donna, have you said hello to each other? I don't know, formally.
Hi.
Hi, Donna.
How are you?
I'm super. How about you?
Not too bad.
Okay, and you're a team now, and so you cooperate. There's no competition here. And how does that work then,
There
Bitsy?
Are various categories, and they are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, or odds and ends.
Okay. Donna, you take the first pick. What would you like?
Science.
Science it is. All right, when feeling some pain, you're feeling a little pain, what is a good way to deal with it? Should you A, cross your fingers and hope for the best, B, whistle a happy tune, or C, listen to Coldplay?
I would say listen to Coldplay.
Oh, you think anyone else would?
Well, I mean, if given those choices, I would say listening to music.
Oh, okay.
So.
Jennifer, you want to weigh in on this?
I'd like to ask the gentleman who was a science teacher.
He's retired. What? He doesn't have to answer any.
Sure, listening
any
to music sounds
questions
good.
Now.
Sure.
Cross your fingers, whistle a happy tune, listen to Coldplay.
Oh, sure, listening to music, sure.
No, I'm sorry. Cross your fingers. They said there is a study on it that said if you cross your fingers, it actually helps deal with pain. Isn't that weird? So
that
try.
Is so weird.
It is totally weird. But so is Coldplay.
Well, no, but there was a study on NPR just like that they were talking about just this week about how they can't give kids opioid pain medications because it interferes with their breathing, but they have better pain response if they listen to music.
Yes, I saw that. Okay, and so that would be...
That's one wrong.
Opioids in kids, always another good topic for this next week. On what do you know? Okay. Don't worry, though. That's just one wrong. So
yes, and the categories left are current events, yes. People, places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
How about things you should have learned in school?
Okay. That's fine. Do flying bats obey traffic rules? I mean, don't you ever wonder why you see these bats flying around at a high rate of speed in narrow little places, and they don't collide? So the question is... Do bats obey traffic rules? Do they have traffic rules?
Do they have traffic rules or do they obey our traffic rules?
No, not our traffic rules. We have no, as far as I know, no traffic rules for bats.
Okay.
Bat zone. I've never seen a bat zone sign. Possibly. Bat crossing.
I would think yes.
I think so
because
as well. Yeah.
Of the echolocation?
Yeah. Yes, that's it. Because of that. And they can do it using their wings and for one another. And they maintain and they know when to turn. And they follow them very closely.
That's one right and one wrong.
Okay.
Categories left are current events, current people, events. Places, or odds and ends.
Okay. Donna, back to you.
People.
People? Okay. Got it right here. Are Generation Xers or Millennials more likely to buy generic pet food? Generic pet food. Got the Generation Xers and Millennials.
I don't know. What do you think, Jennifer?
I think it's Gen Xers because Gen Y likes to tailor things to their own needs. So I would say Gen Xers.
Does that set a little bit of resentment?
I'm in marketing, so I kind of, I don't know. I'm not going to say, I don't know. I would say Gen Xers just,
Donna,
I would probably trust your judgment.
Yeah, that's it. Gen Xers. Oh, yeah, they go for the generic. They were the first generic generation, you know. Actually stands for generic, that gen. Generic Xers.
That's two right and one wrong. And the categories left are current events, places, or odds and ends.
Okay, then.
How about current events?
Current events, right out of the news, maybe not. Who is Zayn Malik? And why should you care? Zayn Malik. Please? No, you talk to your partner here.
Donna. I recognize the name. Oh, let's see. He's
Zayn Malik.
Zayn Malik. I don't know.
In the news now. A big topic in the news.
Oh, did he retire from like One Direction or something? Is that it?
Yeah.
Did you hear that from them?
No, I was trying to remember. I remember hearing it this week.
No, I saw that on At Midnight the other night.
Yeah, he's
leaving One Direction.
Yeah, that's it.
You're leveling with me. You didn't overhear that from
someone I did
saying
not.
One
no,
Direction
honestly,
in the audience?
No.
All right, we'll give it to you. One Direction retired.
Jennifer, for the difference between flotsam and jetsam or why the earth wobbles, you can find out in Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? Test your knowledge with the ultimate collection of amazing trivia, quizzes, stories, fun facts, and everything else you never knew you wanted to know from source books. Donna, make every day a What Do You Know quiz winning day with Stephen Brew's Breakfast Blend Coffee. And for afternoon delight, there's rich and smooth Costa Rican Terra Sue from Madison's Stephen Brew Coffee. We know beans about coffee. And each of you can add pizzazz to many favorite family recipes with a jar of all-natural, gluten-free sweet salsa from Sanchez Specialties. First you taste the sweet, then you feel the heat, and then think about the simple gifts of an Appalachian spring listening to the CD What Do You Know About Copeland with patriotic American liner notes by Michael Feldman from Nimbus Records. Congratulations to both.
Good job. Thank you for doing that. Donna, hang on for a second more. We'll make sure you get an address for you. Thanks for playing.
Hey, Milwaukee area Feldman fans, What Do You Know returns to the historic Pabst Theater on Saturday, April 25th. Click over to notmuch.com for more information. And hey, if you think you're the Cal Ripken Jr. of What Do You Know fans, enter your story in our longest listener contest. Details on how to enter are available at notmuch.com. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI. That's Public Radio International. Michael Feldman is our producer international, and this is PRI, Public Radio International.
Oh, yeah.
Live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, this lady will tell you about another lady in our town of the week. Plus, thanks for the memos and more of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who's gonna miss me when I'm gone, it's Michael Feldman.
When you're gone? Wait a minute. When you're gone?
Yeah.
All right, I can't take the credit. Bitsy Serenix is leaving us. What? Exactly my reaction. I don't know. You try and raise him right.
Some fly-by-night project that we we don't even know what it is.
And they're out the door. She's leaving home. You
CIA, know maybe? National?
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So it's a good deal, though, and we're very happy for you.
Thank you.
And we're very sad for us.
Yes. Yeah.
You rat.
I know. Sorry.
Sorry.
Sorry. Love you. Sorry. Thanks.
Did I say that out loud?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is good. So you're going to New York, and you'll be working on a new whole new project?
New project.
I tell people to get their own shows, but I don't mean it. It's just a saying.
Yeah.
How can you give all this up?
It's hard. It's not terribly simple.
An overripe comedy quiz show?
Overripe.
How can you walk away from that?
Fragrant. So fragrant.
Yes. They go together, you know.
I know.
Yeah. So are you going to do something in the comedy quiz?
No.
We don't have to sign
a
non-compete, do we?
Do you think I would do that? I wouldn't do that to you. Come on.
I don't know. You're pretty itchy. You're answering some of those questions yourself.
That was a mistake. That only happened once.
Yeah. Is it more of a musical type thing? Because I know you're doing a lot of singing and everything.
Yeah, I'm doing a lot of... No, it's not a musical thing.
No.
I can't say what it is. No.
Can't say what it is, but we can say that it's in New York City.
That's right.
And it's very promising, and it's in development.
It's promising enough that I'm willing to leave all you guys, which is a sad thing.
Yeah, it is
and
a very
you guys
sad thing.
Too. Sorry.
Yes.
Oh, you do.
Yeah, leaving everybody. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and so you know, I say we had to look for show highlights. Hard to pick one highlight.
Oh, no.
Of yours over the years, because there's been so few. There's been so many.
Oh,
but
darn.
I'm thinking this is probably it. Let's start things off here with our very own Sarah Nix,
who cannot sing. But
what are you going to be doing? You got to come up here.
Can't I do it from here?
No, you cannot.
I feel very safe in this chair.
No. This is karaoke.
Man, really?
Yeah, get up here. This is karaoke. Sarah Nix is going to do something from Katy Perry. To start things off on here and think about, take a chance, do some of this stuff. What are you doing?
Well, Michael made a special request that I sing Katy Perry's Hot and Cold. However, I am not particularly a Katy Perry fan, don't tell her. And the song is a little bit misogynistic. So I rewrote the lyrics. I've rewritten the lyrics for a little holiday ribbing for my friends up here on the stage every Saturday.
Okay, let's roll it.
God bless me, I'm sorry I can't sing. Two, that's the second bar, third bar. John, you change the chords like a classic jazz guy. Yeah, you're really tall. Listeners might not espy. Yeah, you have to deal with the whims of Jeffrey and Michael. You should know you remind me of Gumby. Now, who's this song really about? Wait a minute. Hold on a second. I think I know. Michael's hot, then he's cold. He's yes, then he's no. He's in, then he's out. He's up, then he's down. He's wrong when it's right. It's black and it's white. Kiss, we break up. We fight, we make up. You don't really want to stay, no. You don't really want to go. Oh, Michael's hot, then he's cold. He's yes, then he's no. He's in, then he's out. Up, and he's down. Okay. Can we please turn it off? Let's turn it off.
I'm not done.
Well, yeah, she's done. You only talk when we're not on the air. It's not just by choice. Michael has declared, I will tell all you folks, Jeff's got really bad jokes. You should know that Jeff's not gonna change. Michael's hot, then he's cold. I'm jumping and singing at the same time. It's going very badly. Michael's wrong. Oh, I'm done. He's cutting me off.
Sarah Nix, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank God that's over.
That was very nice. I think NYC just called. They're having some second thoughts.
There goes whatever dignity I had left.
Okay. Well, let's give you a chance to redeem yourself. Here we got a talent of the week coming up.
We do.
Are you ready?
Yes.
You know, each week at this week time, or never, most weeks, and sometimes never for weeks, we honor our town, Village of Bird, with our talent of the week. Here is Sarah Nix.
Ladysmith, Wisconsin is the seat of Wisconsin's Rusk County.
Ladysmith.
If you got in your car right here at Monona Terrace and drove north-northwest at about the speed limit without hitting any traffic jams or snowstorms, you'd get to Ladysmith in about 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
The town was founded in 1885, where the Minneapolis, St. Paul, and Sault Ste. Marie Railroad, also known as the Sioux Line, crossed the Flambeau River.
Yeah.
It was originally called Flambeau Falls. The town's name changed to Corbett, then Warner, before settling on Ladysmith in 1900.
What happened there?
I think there were many swindlers. So there's like a lineage of swindlers, and then finally the last swindler, his wife was, her first name was Ladysmith.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not making it
Lady
up.
Ladysmith was her name?
I never
heard it before.
Yeah. It was way back in the 1900s, so, or 1800s.
What was her maiden name?
I'm sorry, I do not recall. The area was originally covered in dense forest.
It wasn't Mankiller, was it?
That would be good.
Ladysmith Mankiller?
That's a good name.
Yeah.
The area was originally covered in dense forest, so early industry focused on logging and wood products manufacturing. Logging declined over the first quarter of the 1900s, and people began farming in the region.
Farming.
Though the area is still largely agricultural, a copper mine went in on the edge of the town in the early 1990s. Mm-hmm. The ore from the Flambeau mine was very pure, and similarly rich deposits were found nearby. Mm-hmm. But local controversy around toxic leaching brought the mining in the area to a close by 1997. Mm. A big tornado tore through town, downtown Ladysmith, in fact, on September 2nd, 2002. It did about $20 million worth of damage to local buildings and businesses, but there were thankfully no fatalities. About 3,300 people live in Ladysmith these days. Generally, visitors travel through looking for wilderness. They come to Rusk County for fishing, hiking, biking, and ATV adventures. If you're looking for local sports, you can keep an eye out for the Ladysmith Lumberjacks. And that's our town of the week, Ladysmith, Wisconsin.
All right, thank you very much. We're calling randomly now in Ladysmith. That's what Lyle does. He does random things. And right now he's randomly dialing out there in the Ladysmith area code. What is that area code up there for Ladysmith?
715.
715. Oh, yeah, that's a pretty big area code, though, isn't it? You'll get more than just Ladysmith then.
Hayward.
Oh, you'll get all the way up to Hayward,
oh, yeah.
Sure. Yep.
Superior.
Huh? Big. What is that? This phone does not even work. Why would it be ringing? Look, it's a fake phone. There's not even a cord. It's not supposed to be cordless. This is not an early cordless phone. Someone cut the cord off it because it's a prop. So you can pull this out, try and ring now. Oh, I guess that means we got someone on the line there from Ladysmith. Melanie Meyer has joined us from Ladysmith. Hi, Melanie.
Hi there.
How are you this morning?
Fine.
Yeah, are you up? What are you doing right now?
I'm doing some research at the museum.
Oh, you're at the museum in Ladysmith?
Yes.
Oh, what are you researching?
Well, we're about to put up a memorial in our memorial park with veterans from World War One, World War Two, Korea, Vietnam, and through the recent war on terror.
Mm-hmm. So that's a lot to research. There's a memorial park going in?
We've had a memorial park here for some time. Kind of if you're traveling either east or west on Highway 8, it's right on the Flambeau River, and very lovely park.
Yeah, well, that sounds wonderful. Amazing. So, you got to work on weekends on this too. There's a lot to be done.
Well, yes. John Vacco happens to be spearheading that particular fund drive and making sure we have it complete.
Yeah, well, that's excellent. Excellent. Can you take a few minutes out here to speak with us? Ladysmith is our town of the week.
Oh, how wonderful!
Yeah, are you a native?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. So you grew up there. So where did
third the... generation?
Third generation?
Yes.
Going back to the early Ladysmithers.
going back to the early Ladysmith.
Who was the first mayor in Ladysmith?
Well, the first mayor was, he came to Conrad in 1910.
Oh, from where?
Actually, just from Kiel. But
all the way from
that,
Kiel.
The other generation had come from Germany.
From Germany, yeah. And they went to Kiel first?
Yes.
And then they came over to Ladysmith. What was the attraction in Ladysmith?
I think it was cheap land.
Cheap land. So did he farm?
Yes.
Yeah. And are the subsequent generations also farmers up there?
Kind of dwindling out. We've kind of tended to go to, we've got a lot of teachers in our family.
Mm-hmm.
And on my mother's side, they came too because they helped finish the logging. They were Norwegian and Swedish, and they, like I say, settled in the what's called the Blue Hills area of the county.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, there's one of the best exports I think we have out of our county are our very well-educated young people.
Oh, fantastic.
Well, other towns benefit from them, and well, I should say cities, maybe.
Yeah. Of course, you'd like them to stay if they could. That'd be nice, too.
Yes. And we do have local industry here.
Yeah, yeah.
Where there is employment, and we have three school districts in our county.
Fantastic. What is the industry there now, Ladysmith?
We have a lot of window manufacturers here,
mm-hmm.
Geldwin and Weathershield, and we have a specialty sound panel, Conrad, and then we, like I say, we have still some logging in the county and still some farming in the county, although some of our farmers have tended to become larger and larger, so there's like fewer farmers, but the farms are larger.
Yeah, more industrial farming then?
Right.
Yeah. And if we were coming to Ladysmith and you wanted to show off all the highlights and the hot spots, where would you take us?
Well, it would depend on what time of year you were coming, but
yeah.
We have a group on the east side of the county that has a rock fest in August.
Rock fest?
A rock fest, yes.
As in rocks or rock and roll?
As in rock and roll.
Oh.
And then we also have a bluegrass.
Where do they have that then?
That's south of a little town called Ingram.
Ingram.
In the Ingram Glen Flora area.
Yeah. Is it a big outdoor festival thing?
Yes, it is.
Oh, that sounds cool.
It's out in the country.
Yeah. When does that happen?
I think that's August. I'm not sure exactly weekend.
Okay. Do you know who they're having this year? Have they announced it yet?
No, I don't.
Okay. That's okay.
But I'm sure that if you Googled our county, you'd find who's coming up.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. All right. Rockfest?
Rockfest. Generally, our small community festivals are a lot of fun, and we got a fair. We've got to leave it to rust, so we still have a lot of second growth, so we have a lot of color in the fall, so there's a lot of activity in the fall. I can't forget the winter because the Lions have a big Fun on the Frozen Flambeau ice fishing contest.
Yeah.
And the usual snowboarding, skiing. We have Mount Christie in our county, and so they offer cross-country and other things. We have a lot of cross-country skiing trails. So like I say, it depends on, you know, people kayak and canoe. I think you said previously we have a lot of outdoor activities here.
Mm-hmm. Now, if we want for libation, a place to hang out, what do you got for us?
Well, let's see. I think every single one of our small communities has something that would offer, intrigue you and welcome you in.
For example.
Okay. Okay.
They could intrigue me and welcome me in, but where would I be?
Well, you could go to downtown Ladysmith has the Theater Lounge.
Theater Lounge.
They have the Finish Line just north of town.
Finish Line.
Let's see.
Should we start at the Finish Line? Or?
Well, you could end up there.
End up there, okay.
Okay.
Start in the theater lobby?
Theater Lounge.
Lounge. Is it in the theater?
It's in the same building as our local theater, but separate.
So you can drink in the lobby?
Not exactly in the lobby, around the corner, I guess I'd say.
Okay. You don't have to go through them to see a movie, do you?
No.
Okay. That sounds good. Okay. And then where else? A place to eat. The place to eat that locals know about that other people may not know. That's what we want.
That other people might not know
yeah,
about.
Yeah, coming through them.
I don't know if we have any hidden secrets for eating here.
Oh.
Our country kitchen is just absolutely wonderful. And we have TOA, which is associated with the golf course, and they have wonderful food.
Yeah.
We have...
No grandmas or...
No, I can't think of anything quite like that.
Or somebody with a lady's name with an apostrophe S.
We used to have some of those, but they kind of closed down and we just don't have as many anymore. We south of town, it was closed for a while, but we have Iron Horse. That's a very good place to eat.
Mm. What's it called?
And have fun. And they play polkas.
Oh, what is it called?
It's called Iron Horse.
Oh, the Iron Horse.
Yep, the Iron Horse.
A polka restaurant bar.
Absolutely.
Perfect. Okay.
That's
say no
the name
more.
Of our game up here.
That's the name of the game. Melanie, I want to thank you for speaking with us. It was very nice to learn about Lady Smith from your point of view, and we got a little something for you.
We do. We will be sending you Badger State Gold in handcrafted cheese made without artificial growth hormones, animal enzymes, or genetically modified ingredients from Southwest Wisconsin's Cedar Grove cheese.
Thanks, Melanie.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate it. Melanie Meyer from Lady Smith, our town of the week. Yes. Okay, Lady Smith. And it's, you got to go.
Somebody's got to throw the dart.
Get this dart going here.
Usually we look for the young people, but I don't see so many.
Oh, I don't see so many. Kiddos.
No, not so many. We got, she's a young people. I better give her that microphone there, feller.
Oh, yes.
Yep. Why are we all talking like this?
I don't know.
I don't know either. You started.
Hey, come on up.
You?
Come on up. What's your name?
Celeste.
I think you may be our youngest.
I stepped on your foot before,
member.
Celeste. I still apologize for it. Is it okay now?
Yeah.
Is it throbbing?
No.
Okay.
I don't think you stepped on my toe. I think my feet are a little bit farther back in, so you just stepped in front of my shoe.
Sensible. That's the way to buy shoes. Sensible,
close your
Celeste.
Eyes, throw the dart.
Yeah.
Ocean?
Off the coast of Florida, though. That was close. UP?
Munising, Michigan?
Munising. Thank you.
Oh, in the UP? Wait a minute, we got something. Here, look it. Here, this book. You know, come back here, Celeste. You got this. Can't read the name of it, but it's a very nice book about a monkey.
She's not in second grade.
It's a jazz. No, it's not. Coffee mug. What else do you want? Anything else?
Is there like a hat in there, like a funny hat or something?
Ole Miss.
There you go. Well.
No? Okay. Okay, I'm sorry. That's it. All right, thank you for doing that. And that's our town week for next time, whenever that may be. All right. Where are we now, then?
Memos, man. You got a good one today.
No, I don't have any memos.
Didn't you get a memo?
I got a letter. It is the best letter I've ever received in my life.
Really?
Yeah, it's a thank you note.
Dear Michael.
Much, much more. Dear Mr. Feldman, in a letter that's long overdue, I'm writing to let you know how much my family and I enjoy What Do You Know. My parents were fans of the show, so I grew up listening, and now I listen with my family. We all especially appreciate your dry sense of humor. That means not funny. You know, I say, well, you have such a dry sense of humor. Yes. Hardly tell it's a sense of humor at all. It's so dry. And you're offbeat. That's certainly true.
Yeah.
Rapport with your guests and audience. So thank you for your fantastic show. Keep the laughs coming. On a related, this is really the part I like. On a related but slightly tragic note, I love tragedy. Not really. My two sons love playing with your bobblehead doll, specifically the head. My folks own the game version of What Do You Know, and during a recent visit, my sons, Cooper, 3.5, and Griffin, 17 months, found the game and commandeered the figurine of you. Sorry about that. They brought the head with them back to our home and have continued to play with it often. Here in their little toys, there's a head riding a little little toy car in this version here. Here I am. There's my head in a little toy bus. Like a little Tonka bus. Just my head is riding
it's
in
it. It's a little disturbing to me.
It's totally disturbing, but I love it. Here is a little train set here. It looks like a wooden train set that has an animal car with bars in it. There are the animals in my head.
Okay, it's downright car. Scary. Scary.
It's a little scary. I hope I never meet these kids, actually, you know, when teenagers or something like that. Here is a little Tonka sort of a little...
Oh, my God.
Yeah. A little truck with a bucket in front, and my head, of course, is...
In the bucket.
In the bucket. And then this is a delivery truck, my head sticking out the door. There's a pig on top of it, too, so... I don't feel so bad about that one. And here is one of the... I know this would be Griffin. No, this is probably Cooper. And he's looks like he's about to stuff my head through a little basketball hoop. He's trying to get the grip on it, trying to find the seams. Yeah. And they see the hoop.
He's got a dry sense of humor, too.
Yeah. Since then, I have found your head in the most unusual places and even snapped a few pictures to share with you. Before you get mad, in my son's defense, they treat you very well, and your head gets to do some pretty fun stuff. So in addition to your great show, I thank you for keeping my son so entertained, and I can assure you that your head is in good hands, literally. All the best to you, Lindsay, Eric, Cooper, and Griffin Cummings from La Crosse. So thank you very much for that. I will treasure these. There's something about this that makes everything worthwhile. Isn't that sweet? In La Crosse. My head's in La Crosse somewhere. My heart's in the Highlands. My head's in La Crosse. All right, so what do you think now?
Well, we could play a tune.
Do you feel like playing a tune?
Sure.
Or are you all played out?
No, never played out.
Yeah.
Well, maybe sometimes. Maybe.
Yeah. Did you really want to sing a song?
No.
You mentioned something
already,
to them.
No, thank you.
I know you had a big break there, but that was
no,
just
thank you.
Around.
Let us not. No.
Cabaret is what I heard. No. You wanted to sing something from Cabaret.
No, thank you. No, they've heard enough.
Did you hear that?
Well, we want to make sure she gets the gig before we.
That's right. Yeah. Don't kill my chances, man.
What good is sitting alone in your room?
Just like that.
Dear Miss Nix.
That's correct. Life has a cabaret, old job.
It's come to our attention. You're not quite as stable as maybe we thought.
I'm sorry, but something you put on your Facebook has caught our attention here, and I'm afraid we have to turn you down for that.
That's A-okay.
Okay. Well, good luck getting your job back, babe.
Thanks. I'll always have a place here, I'm sure.
All right, then. If not cabaret, what?
Well, this could be dedicated to Sarah also. Okay. It's called If There Is Someone Lovelier Than You.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
What? Oh, the audience, yes, of course. Just thinking about the whole Gumby thing. If you leave that there, I'm going to step on that. You know that. You got to think about your older talk show host. If you leave things in the aisle, I'm going to step on them. And if your feet are among them, it's going to happen.
Lovely.
Yeah. You know what? I actually saved your card here as it happens because there's nothing on it. You released no information about yourself at all. This is you, right, Celeste Keith?
Yep.
Celeste Keith from Franklin, Wisconsin. I'm a student at UW-Madison. That's all. Nothing. Is something secretive about you? Are you in some line of work that is actually secret or classified?
No, not really. I just wanted you to ask me what I was studying.
Oh, what are you studying?
Astrophysics and math.
Holy cow. Here, stand up a second there. I don't have to bend over and talk to you. And people say, this is... You know, Celeste, she was one who threw the dart and all that stuff. Astrophysics?
Yeah.
And math.
Mm-hmm.
Is it like a double major?
Yes, that's what I'm going for.
Yes. Aren't you tired of overachieving? What's the matter with you?
I don't know. It never really stops.
If you could triple major, what would the other one be?
Just regular physics, I guess.
Oh, yeah. So they're separate fields, actually, I suppose.
Right, I could get both if I wanted.
Yeah. Well, why did you pick astro?
I love space.
You love space? You
it's
love
the final
space?
Frontier.
What? It is the final frontier. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Haven't heard that in a while yet.
Outer space.
Outer space. Outer space. And do you hope to astronaut training or something like that?
If I had the opportunity to go, I think I might, but mostly research, discovery, stuff beyond the physical reach of humans and stuff we don't know anything about yet.
Yeah. Were you always like this? I mean, as a kid? Was she like that as a kid?
Yes.
Well, that was a yes that came after a lot of different answers that you didn't utter, and then you came yes.
Well, she's kind of a late bloomer.
Really? No.
First, she's her.
She wanted to be an attorney since she was a little girl. And then mid-high school, she decided astrophysics was for her.
What happened to you in high school? You suddenly became an astrophysicist.
A teacher told me no for the first time, so I just wanted to show them that I could do it, and then I realized I actually liked it.
So all we had to do was really insult you in any given field, and you would have gone that way.
I guess it was math. So, And then I started reading a bunch of books about space, a lot of Neil deGrasse Tyson books, Stephen Hawking, anything I could get my hands on. And now I really like it, and I'm glad I'm doing it.
Yeah, is it great? Is it good here?
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Well, that's really amazing. And because UW does a lot of stuff in that field, right?
Yeah, we're doing Ice Cube is the main thing I can think of right now, which is detecting neutrinos at the South Pole, which are tiny little particles that don't interact with anything, so it's really hard to detect them, and that's what we're trying to figure
looking
out.
At the South Pole?
Yeah, at the South Pole where it's cold.
Yeah, that's a UW thing. Yes, were you going to say something about that?
Well, her name, it matches.
Celeste, of course.
Yeah.
I was thinking little piano, little tiny piano, but it's celestial.
Yeah.
Very nice to meet you. I'm glad you left that all out of your card there. So best to you, Celeste. You can be seated now. Just keep your stuff out of the aisle, is what I'm saying. Okay, you're smart, you're doing really good, but keep your stuff out of the aisle. Kids. All right. Let's see. No. It's another Iowa. It's a girls' weekend. Why do we get all the girls' weekends?
Because you're such a party guy.
I am. I should appear at their little get together, you know. And what did he pull out of there? I don't know. It looked like an index card or something. The index card's in his shorts. What is it? Great party entertainer. Where are they? I guess is what I'm saying here. I'm looking now for Bonnie, and this is it. This is the party.
Yeah.
How far does it go?
Four.
Come on, get up here. Let's see what you look like. Party girls. Before you see their mugshots. Before you see their mugshots in the paper. Someone take a picture. You all like gather around me and go like this. Gather around me and go. No, seriously, like this.
Okay.
And then someone got to take a picture.
Okay.
You got to go like you're real excited to see me. No, no, towards me. No, not like you're frightened.
I am frightened.
Oh, you know, give me that, and I'll just, I'll do a little thing here. Okay, ready?
There we go.
Someone take a picture. Someone got a picture? Okay, Facebook that. That'll go a long way towards making your weekend. So what's next after this?
A little shopping downtown, I think.
God. What is that's a girls' weekend?
Too. We're going to drink a lot.
You can drink before shopping or during? Or
during. The whole time.
Yeah. Good idea to drink before you go shopping?
Sure. You spend more.
You spend more? It's like being hungry and going grocery shopping.
That's right. That's right. You take more than you need.
So where are you going to shop then?
The popular streets.
The popular streets? You haven't really planned this out, have you?
Bonnie's a planner.
What happened last night? Did it start last night?
Oh, yeah, we started last night.
Afternoon. Where did we go last night?
We went to Toby's for a fish fry. We went to
because I told him I got to go for Wisconsin Friday night fish fry.
At Toby's?
We went to Toby's. It was really good.
Where's Toby's?
It's on...
Remember,
just over there.
South Dutch Mill Road.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really
who drove?
Bonnie did.
Okay.
I wonder you don't know where it was. Okay, and then Toby's fish fry, what'd you have?
I had perch. I had the cod.
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 Okay, one perch, three cods. And then after Toby's?
Well, we wanted to go to Hemingway's, the cigar bar, but it was closed. Smoke cigars, but they were closed.
How can they be closed?
Very disappointing. So we went over to Great Dane and had beers.
Yeah. They have cigars. They have cigars there, too.
But you can't smoke them in there.
That's true. You got to go out in the street. It's kind of a, kind of ruins your rhythm, you know, cigar and scotch and run out. You have to drink the scotch on the street, too.
Yeah, we did that at Toby's.
We would.
We had to.
All right, and so tonight then is, how's this culminate after the shopping?
We're just going to do whatever.
It's your birthday on Thursday, so we're celebrating that as well.
There's a strip club on East Washington.
She's got a lot of ones. She had 12 ones this morning. It's
I mean, they have like amateur night and all that too.
Us to strip or for... Man.
I'm just saying, if you really want to go over the top on a girls' weekend,
I think we should do it.
That's what I was thinking. So we got your name is
Bonnie,
and
Lisa,
Jean,
Kim.
Girls' night out. We got to lubricate them a little bit here.
Yes. How
what
about
we got?
Domaine de Sac and Prairie Fumée from the Wollersheim Winery.
Wollersheim wine. One bottle enough?
I think we can do two.
Two bottles.
Let's do two.
Okay. No, not four. We'll give you two. That's it. Okay? Then I'm cutting you off. All right, have a good time. Girls' weekend. We get them all here. It's amazing how many girls' weekends we get. We never rarely get a guys' weekend. Do guys have weekends? We wouldn't call it that, I suppose. That'd be weird. Hunting. We go going hunting. But guys' weekend. Any guys ever had a guys' weekend? You go out and shop. There's a gentleman there who's been on a guy's weekend. This is sociology. This is good stuff. You can't buy this for love nor money. I've always meant to take sociology. Instead, I just live it. Can I get you to stand up in the corner? Yeah, come on, just come over here. Hi, how are you?
I'm fantastic.
And you are?
Alan Day.
And you've gone on a guy's weekend?
My wife's not aware of it, but yes.
Yeah. She's aware of it, obviously.
Yeah, she's very aware, yes.
And what is a guy's week? What do you do? Where do you go and with who?
It's college buddies. Oh. Yes, and we go to a place called Larry's Fest.
Larry's Fest.
It's a bluegrass festival in the Kickapoo Valley.
Oh, cool, yeah.
Awesome. Kind of around the La Crosse area. It's actually a fantastic time.
Okay. How many of you guys are there?
Anywhere from as low as 4 to 10.
You're all college buddies?
Yes.
From which college?
The UW-Stevens Point.
Well, okay, this all makes sense now. They're from Point. Okay. You know what's weird about Point is those guys stay together for a lifetime. I mean, I have other friends from Point, and they're all still friends like 30 years later.
A lot of tightness, yes.
Yeah. What is that? Something in the beer or something?
Well, the Point beer, the Bach beer there, yeah, it could be a problem.
And so, I mean, do you ever do anything else besides this festival, or can't you talk about that right at the moment?
We used to go up to skiing in the wintertime up around the Hurley area. Uh-huh. I mean, you don't ski at Hurley. You have to go further, but...
I know what you do at Hurley. You don't have to tell me.
Yeah.
That's right. You don't ski at Hurley so much.
I feel like I'm getting Snickers here from our audience. It's just a nice
Hurley,
time.
Very nice place to go if you're not
but
skiing.
These gals would be a lot of fun in Hurley, wouldn't they?
I don't know if I would say that. They might take issue with it. No shopping. So on your guys' weekend, you never like go shopping.
No shopping. No, we don't.
For lunch.
No, just Bloody Marys kind of thing, and there's lunch in that.
Yeah, cool. I may join you one of these years. Don't you
invite? That would be wonderful. I'd love it. Yes. Thank you.
My college buddies never call me. I don't have college buddies or call me. Do you hang out with your college buddies?
I didn't go to college.
You didn't go to college. Well, yeah. High school buddies? Hang out with old friends from years ago?
Yeah, on occasion.
You'll see them?
Sure.
So you don't, do you? You just stay home and you don't see your old friends and stuff?
Yeah, that's more close to it.
I do, but I like once in a while, but I can't even remember who they were. I know I had friends. And yeah, really. Honestly, I had a couple in college, at least. I don't know what happened to them. All right, let's see. Lee Keith. Oh, this is from Lee, from the Keith family here. How do you stay on the radio so long? There's a syntax problem in there. So how do you stay on the radio so long? How have I? How have I? Okay, well, it's a syntax problem. All right, what about this, though? Karen Wessener, who is an account representative, says, shouldn't UW have a scholarship for students whose field of study matches their name? So what is a Wessener? Oh, that's you. You're in this Keith family, too. Okay, see, this is all about you guys.
I'm the mom to the astrophysicist named Celeste, so... Yeah. She actually thought of that when she was applying to school that shouldn't
I thought you meant there was a Wessener.
No.
Your name is Wessener.
No, it's because of my daughter.
I want to be a Wessener when I grow up.
It's actually Wessener, so I'll...
Wessener. Okay, thank you.
But shouldn't...
I want to be a Wessener? Did anyone ever say that? Did you say that when you're...
No.
Because you weren't a Wessener growing up.
I was.
You were.
I still am.
You still are. You just never wanted to be a Keith when you grew up.
Right.
Okay, thank you. So I'm just saying there is no field called Wessener.
But there is a Celeste in my family.
No, I know. I got that part. We've beaten that one to death.
I'm paying for her to go to school, and we'd like her to get money to...
I know. I was just, you know, you don't see my problem.
I do. You didn't understand.
Right. Okay. May I buy you a beer at Cognition Brewing Company? Where is Cognition? Is that in Ishpeming?
It is.
It is? Is that a good beer, or is that your thing? Or, yeah, well, come on, tell us about it here. So if we're in Ishpeming, we should go to Cognition.
Cognition Brewing, yes, you should.
Are you associated with Cognition? Oh, I see it on your shirt here. It's Cognition.
Mm-hmm. My brother just opened the brewery last 2 weekends ago.
Is he cognitive yet? Or
he's still remaining cognitive somehow.
And what is special about Cognition? Is he a good brewmaster?
His brewmaster is my wife's nephew, Brian. It was his
Isn't name. It always that way? Your wife's nephew becomes the brewmaster. That's why I don't get into it.
He named the brewery. It was always the name he wanted to use. Yeah. And his specialty is Belgian-style beers.
Ooh, those are good ones.
Which matched what my brother loved in beers. So when my brother decided to put a brewery together, it just made sense.
How did your nephew get involved in Belgian beers?
He's just very good at putting recipes together. He's an excellent chef as well, and he's just an excellent brewer.
But is he a good nephew?
He's an excellent nephew, yes.
So his name is?
Brian Richards.
Your?
Diane Clancy.
Diane. Okay, and are you involved in the brewing of this beer?
I am not. I have been there while the beer's
consumption.
Brewed in the consumption, yes, and I've tasted and tested.
Did you invest any money in your nephew's little scheme here?
I did not, no.
That shows real cognition.
Well, I'll be investing money in the business every time I go up there, of course.
Oh, yeah. A few dollars at a time. That makes sense. Thank you very much. And you are, once again,
is Pat Clancy.
Pat Clancy. The Clancys, ladies and gentlemen. Cognition beer. Look forward to Ishpeming. Soon to be everywhere. We're going to try the What Do You Know quiz now. Because you didn't get a chance last time. This could be a chance here for you that you missed last time. And who here... Oh, the guy, you were just combing your hair. I saw a hand go up here, but He did the hair thing. Remember that in school? Oh, man. Oh, okay. Yes, yes, but who? There's a hand there. Yes, you? Come on, I'll meet you here. Let's see if you qualify. You get to play. Did you ask him for permission? Did you say, I get to play, or did you ask him for permission?
I said, do I get to play?
Yeah. Were you asking him?
No, I just wanted to know what it was for. I didn't
Okay. Why are you raising your hand?
I don't know.
That's good. I was a teacher. We love students like you. Just raise your hand for no reason.
I always did that in school. Yeah,
like a reflex kind of thing.
I wanted to talk.
Yeah. And you are?
Susan.
Susan, where are you from?
Mount Horeb.
Mount Horeb, beautiful Mount Horeb. With the trolls. Ew. The trolls on the streets. They still got the trolls in the streets there?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Aren't they getting kind of old, those trolls? Kind of wearing?
I don't like them.
You don't like the trolls? What do we have against them?
They're icky. I don't know. I just don't like them. That's what everybody knows about Mount Horeb, and there's a lot of really beautiful places in Mount Horeb, but they all see these little cranky, ugly trolls, and they don't see the driftless area and the bluffs and the beauty, so that's what I like.
Okay, I like the trolls. Susan, one good reason you play this quiz.
I love games.
Love games! As we say in English. Have a seat there if you would on the Naugahyde. Yes. Tape that because it comes up and bites you otherwise. You know that Naugahyde can do that. So how are you?
I'm great.
What's your weekend all about this weekend?
We came here.
That's it?
Well, it's early.
Yeah. All the way from Mount Horeb.
Mm-hmm. We got a ride.
You did? Who drove you?
Cindy and Jim Way. They drove us
Where
here.
Where are they?
They're our neighbors.
Hey.
Kind of out in the country.
Oh, how are you? They don't sit with you, though, huh?
Good. Yeah, that's...
Oh, you're sitting back there? Okay.
Yeah, I was back there.
Okay. And so what are you doing these days, Susan? To occupy yourself? Or?
I live on a farm, and I work at the UW Hospital.
You do? Wow.
I do.
And is it like a family farm or?
Yes.
Your family?
My family, the Kovacs family farm. Yep.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
No. I'll believe anything you tell me. You know, you seem very believable.
I raise llamas and alpacas and
you
Scottish
do?
Highlanders and Old English baby doll sheep.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And the llamas in Mount Horeb are mine, but some people have just one or two, but I have the big ones all the ones on the highway there.
The ones that you see, if you see that thing there.
Yeah.
You try to wonder that's a llama.
There's llamas and alpacas.
Alpacas. And the difference is the wool?
The difference is one's taller and one's shorter, and their hair grows straight down on llamas, mm-hmm. and alpacas grow straight out.
Isn't that interesting? Can they mate with one another?
It's very ugly. We don't do that.
That's what someone should have told me, you know?
It's called a huarzo, and we don't like those. So,
no.
And it's,
what's
it
called
is,
again?
It's just ugly. Huarzo. It's a Spanish word, and it's not.
Means ugly
yeah.
thing that shouldn't have happened?
They're cousins.
It's a useful
like
word.
Camels.
How do you spell that? I'm going to
move
it.
I can't spell
it. H-U-A-R?
Huarzo. I can't spell it, but look it up.
Huarzo.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sort of like that. I'm going to use that in my everyday speech. Say it again, though. You say it.
Hars, though.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, and so you've been doing that for years now, huh?
About 20. How old is Forrest? I think like 22, 23 years we've had llamas and alpacas. We're from Flagstaff, Arizona, but we're
here
now.
Yeah. Do they grow better down there than up here, or is it better here or than
no,
down there?
No, the mountains were great for it, but hay was really expensive, and my family's back over here, and it's nice to be in the Midwest where the grass grows, and we were in the mountains, so.
Yeah, well, very cool, very cool. And how do you make a living, though, raising? I mean, what do you sell? You share them or whatever and sell their.
My husband has a job.
That's how you make a living. Your husband has it. That's a good thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But you're supposed to. Do you sell the.
I sell the fiber, and do make some money. I mean, I'm not like.
No.
I feed them.
Do you say fiber as opposed to wool? Because it's not wool, actually.
You're right. It's not wool because it's more hair-like because their hair is so fine. It's actually considered a hair in wool. You know, if you were going to say wool or fiber, you'd say fiber.
Okay. It's too much to learn here. First, it was with the paperweights.
I know that
now
was
I got
really
a
interesting.
Wool hair
I liked
fiber
the
llama
thing.
Alpaca.
And Scottish Highlanders have hair, too, but their hair is very coarse. You don't want it.
What is a Scottish Highlander, then?
They're a very hairy cow, and they're from Scotland, and they're very, very fuel efficient. They eat burdock and thistle, and they're really sweet. And mine, I can pet, and I brush their hair because I got them when they were real young.
Why do you have them?
I like really hairy animals. That's not funny.
I'm looking at your husband, and I don't... He's clean-shaven, even.
Yes, but
The first crush I ever had was on Cousin It on the Addams Family. I still love him.
Okay, say no more. It all makes perfect sense now. I don't know what I was thinking.
But all I am kind of looking for a job if I can have her job, because I can drive really good. I can pack that thing up, that big base.
You mean John?
No, I can't move that, but the base. And I can drive all the way to Oklahoma City.
Well, if you could pack John up, I would consider it. We'd have to see you do it, though. All right, you know, someone out there plays along with you, Susan. Did you know that? And how do we find that person?
They pick up the phone and dial 1-800-942-5669.
Okay.
And get a correct answer for the question of your choice.
Okay. Here it is again. Another percentage thing from the people category. Percentage of people who said they would sell their work password for the right price. Easy. They'd sell the password for their little workplace there, whatever it is, or their big workplace, for the right price. Percentage of people who said they would do that. Let's go to DePere right now and talk to Bob. Hey, Bob.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Pretty good. How about you?
Good, good.
Yeah, what you got going on?
I was doing some touch-up painting in my bedroom and helping my son with a computer project and doing dishes and laundry and just being busy.
You're doing all that at once. How many arms do you have, Bob? Are you like with Shiva?
These days, just two.
Just two?
Just two, yeah.
So what are you touching up on the paint there?
I had to fix a door, run a door frame.
Fix the door frame? What happened to it?
Oh, we just had to reattach it, and so I needed a little.
How did it come off,
Bob? Well, I took it off.
What?
No, I took it off. I took it off on purpose. I was being a little obsessive about this trim around it.
The trim was bothering you?
Yes.
What was wrong with the trim, though? I mean,
I just didn't like the way it looked.
Well, how did it look?
Sloppy.
Oh, they'd been painted sloppy, or was it stained?
What's that?
Was it stained or painted?
No, it was painted. It was painted. It just needed to be cleaned up a little bit.
Yeah, who painted it?
Me.
Okay. All right, I think I got your number, Bob.
All right.
A perfectionist, except when you do things, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, percentage of people who said they would sell their work password for the right price. What percentage can you give me? And people would say they'd do that.
Boy, it would have to be really high. I'm guessing like 15%.
15?
Yeah, I think so.
1.5?
Oh, what's that? 1.5, yeah, about 15%.
It's 14%. Sorry, we can't let you have it.
Are you serious? Oh.
No, you got it, Bob. You got it. Come on, Bob.
Excellent.
Very insightful. All right, Bob, this is Susan. She's in alpacas and that other one. And that thing you shouldn't get. But they're all hairy things.
Okay. Yeah, I was a little concerned when she started talking about liking hairy things and all that.
You shouldn't be concerned. You're not here. It's not your problem.
No. And I'm not hairy either.
No, okay. Well, don't worry about it. Bob, Susan, say hello.
Hello, yep. How are you?
Well, get past
hey,
these
Susan,
things.
I'm good.
Get past it. Okay, Susan and Bob, you are a team in various categories, don't we have, though?
Yes, current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, or odds and ends.
Okay, Bob, pick the first one. What would you like?
Let's do science.
Science, it is.
Yes.
Okay, the fact that the neutron is slightly more massive than the proton, or B, that the proton is slightly more massive than the neutron, or C, the mass difference between the proton and the neutron is a wash, makes existence possible.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. It sounds good.
Which one?
Okay.
Do you want to hear it again?
Can we ask her?
Leave Celeste out of this. She's had enough of my show.
I was going to say, get Celeste up here. She should know that. I'm leaning towards the one that says the fact that it's a wash.
Are you?
But I'm not sure.
What was number one again?
Neutron is slightly more massive than the proton.
No, that couldn't be it. Well, we can't look.
No. We can't look. What do you mean we can't look?
I thought I was
look?
Just reading a question. I thought you were just reading a question. Maybe
the answers are right beneath the question.
I will not look anymore.
Okay.
I'm going with number two.
The proton slightly more massive than neutron? Bob, what are you thinking?
Pro is
big?
Well, I, you know, I'll go with
and
I'll
Harry is good. You know, I mean, yeah. You got some just generalizations that you make.
Sure, I'll defer to Susan. Because I'm sure being a llama farmer is real relevant.
Okay, anyhow, you're both wrong. The neutron is slightly more massive than the proton. So, okay, it clears that up.
Oh, well,
neutron's a little bit bigger, they found. It has to be, otherwise they wouldn't spin or something. Or,
well, that's good.
I don't know why that is. But.
So now we know.
That's one wrong.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Okay. So,
the categories left are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
Odds and ends.
Current events.
Current events, places. Okay, now, I'm telling you what, if you get this one right, we win the quiz, because we're running out of time here.
Okay.
So you pull out of the hole and come back even. We're going to call that a win. All right.
Oh, okay, okay.
What did you want, current events?
Yes.
Okay. An Australian report finds homeopathy is good for what?
Absolutely nothing.
Absolutely nothing is right. Holy cow. Bee poop goes nowhere.
Susan, you can bring the exhilarating aroma of bacon to your morning shower with Mr. Bacon Body Wash. Drives dogs crazy from Archie McPhee. Bob, discover how Merv Griffin's I've Got a Loverly Bunch of Coconuts figures in Michael's biography in Something I Said, Innuendo, and Out the Other by Michael Feldman, including the CD My Life, the Musical, performed by John Seeger from Terrace Books. And both of you can hearken back to the 1940s with a Delta Diner patch and Delta Diner bumper sticker from the Delta Diner in Northwestern Wisconsin near Iron River, and wallow in old-school Russian romanticism on the CD What Do You Know About Rachmaninoff with virtuoso liner notes by Michael Feldman from Nimbus Records. Congratulations to both.
We have a little presentation for you here because you're leaving, and we knew if you're leaving going to New York, you're going to end up in Brooklyn, so you're going to need this. Aubrey, do the honors.
Thank you.
A little something from all of us.
Oh, thank you, guys. Is it coffee? Oh, you guys, it's great. Thank you.
It's a
hat. It's my hipster headdress.
Hipster, Eddie, did you want to make a little speech? No. Okay. I thought Aubrey was going to make a little speech, but he got too emotional and too choked up about it. Barry Williamsburg, wear it in good health.
And for those of you who are sticking around, and particularly if you're in Milwaukee, What Do You Know returns to the historic Pabst Theater on Saturday, April 25th. Special guests include former Bodine Sam Giannis. Click over to notmuch.com for more information. And meanwhile, if you're planning your next Madison outing, bring the whole gang to the Monona Terrace for a live What Do You Know broadcast. Michael, John, Jeff will all be here. Click over to notmuch.com for special group pricing information and get your tickets today.
Looks good on you.
Thanks. I like it. It feels great.
Yeah, perfect. We had it fitted to your head. You secretly measured your head when you weren't looking. Sarah Nix going on to New York City, where she will rock them. Thank you all for coming. Thanks for joining us, boys in the band. All of you, thank you. A little more. Don't hurt yourself or anything.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman is our inimitable producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Megan Hannes, Kelly Osborne, and Diana Cook. Our technical director is Tom Blaine with help from Aubrey Ralph and Brad Kohlberg. Thank you guys so much.
RI, Public Radio International.